Some time ago, a question was raised about how do we set up and what do we expect to have in the assembly? Does Yahweh really guide and guard things that we do? Well, I want to start by having you go to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. You find that Yahweh's power and His Spirit is all pervasive. It infiltrates everything on the earth and things under the earth and so on. But in the book of Daniel, if you'll put in there at chapter 2, and you'll notice here in verse 21, we read there that Yahweh, well, it should begin with verse 20, Daniel said in Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of Elohim forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise, knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him." Actually, you can move down to verse 37 and we read again. "Thou, O King, art King of kings, for the Mighty One of Heaven has given you a kingdom and power and strength and glory." Talking about Nebuchadnezzar. In chapter 4, move over to verse 17. There again we read, "The matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand of the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever He will, and setteth up over it the basest of men." So we know, in fact, you can find this in the book of Romans as well, chapter 13. It says there that Yahweh is watching and He knows who's in charge, and He Himself is responsible and will change whenever He wills. What is interesting, people sometimes wonder, does Yahweh really look after people in the assembly? Well, quite a while ago, I got a letter from a man, and in fact, he called me later on. He said, "I've never heard a sermon talking about how the assembly got started and how things go, and does Yahweh really care, and so on and so forth." And, well, I want you to turn with me to the book of John, chapter 19. And here we have Yahshua being the one that's speaking. And you'll find here in the 19th chapter of John that he emphasized and points out to Pilate, who was the one he was addressing. In verse 11, Yahshua answered, John 19:11, and says to Pilate, "You could have no power at all against me except it were given you from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto you has the greater sin." Pilate had just said, "Don't you know that I could kill you? I could have you released, whatever I want." And Yahshua said, "Well, don't think that's so great. You couldn't do that of your own, but you were given that power. Use it wisely. Don't just do it to show that you have that power." Well, we have examples that we are supposed to follow in our fellowship, not only with the world, but also with brethren of like faith. Some of these are rather interesting. If you want to turn with me to the book of Titus. Titus was the young man that Paul took under his wing, and we find that he gave him some valid advice. So let's turn to Titus chapter 3, and we'll begin there with verse 1. Notice he says, Paul says to remind them to be, or put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving different lusts and pleasures, living in malice that is hatred, envy, hateful, and hating one another. And he goes on to say, but after the kindness and love of the Yahshua, really, toward men appeared. And then he goes on to show that it is through Yahshua that we're able to overcome these things. Just as Deacon Dave mentioned, sometimes we've done things in the past we wish we'd never done them. We've done them, and now we have to see to it we don't continue doing the things that Yahweh hates. But we do know that we are to follow, have in a good relationship with our fellow man. I want you to turn with me to back to Timothy, being we're so close here. 1 Timothy. And you'll notice 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1. Paul writes to Timothy, rebuke not an elder. It could be an aged one older than ourselves. But Paul says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger sisters with all purity, and so on. Then we move on down to verse 17. We get into the assembly itself. And notice it says in verse 17, Paul says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. So we're to have respect for each other, and especially for those that are doing the work. I'm not saying that because I'm one of them, but I do think that this young man that I talked with is right. He said, I've never heard anybody say that before. I've never read that. I've never heard that. I'm glad you brought it up. Well, there's more, so we'll get into that. But the thing is that Paul here is very protective of the assembly. He doesn't want any backbiting. He doesn't want any gossip. He doesn't want anything going on that's wrong. And he as an elder, Paul himself, had been a victim of a lot of unwarranted attacks. And he carried on with his goal to reveal Yahshua. And he felt this was a noble calling. And he would continue to get threats from his own people. The Jews themselves are determined to kill him, as you well know. So Paul continued with this, and he wants us to be careful too and not be carried away with our own likes and dislikes, but to try to be the kind of people that Yahweh wants us to be. I want you to turn to I think we missed the verse 18. I didn't finish that. We're in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 18. He says, the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. The laborer is worthy of his reward. And then he said, against an elder receive not an accusation. So we're not to, not only elders, but not anyone is to be the victim of attacks, but he says we should have two or three or more witnesses. And those that are wrong, they should be rebuked before the entire assembly, before all others, so that they learn to take care of these things. Notice when he moves on down here to verse 21, he says, I charge thee before Elohim and the Savior Yahshua the Messiah and elect angels that you observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Don't have favorites, but be honest and be equally willing to help those that need it, not playing favorites and trying to do favors and curry somebody's favor. Verse 22, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep yourself pure. So Paul is very clear here. He wants us to be above board, to be honest, and to do things in a correct manner. Let's go over to the book of Thessalonians, back up to 1 Thessalonians. And this is at the early age of the fledgling assembly. They were just getting going. The brethren are encouraged to enjoy friendly relationships with other brethren. Special note is given to the elders in the flock. Notice here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning there at verse 12. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Master, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace with yourselves, all among yourselves. So Paul says we are to have respect for one another and to do the things properly. And it pleases Yahweh to have the body of Messiah working together as a group. Let's go over to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Here in the book of Romans again, Paul, I notice, has a lot of things to say, and actually he is the one that gets most of the most of the gaff from people because of his stand that he takes on a lot of things. But I want you to notice in chapter 12 that Paul says in verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, that is, the same deeds, the same practice." What Paul is pointing out here is that each of us that has been baptized into Yahshua's name is given a gift. Whatever that gift is, we are to use to edify, build up, strengthen, and to solidify the assembly. In verse 5, he says, "So being many, we're one body in Messiah, and we're members one of another, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, whatever our gift is, use it and do it for Yahweh's honor and glory, according to our proportion of faith. If it's the ministry, let us serve. If it's teaching, let us teach." Verse 8, if it's encouraging someone, let's encourage them. Make sure they're solid in the faith and carrying on and doing the things they should be doing as a member of the body of Messiah. Him that rules with diligence. In fact, that word rule there in verse 8 actually in the King James really means guides. Guides or moves them along, presides over them. So we find that not only Paul talks about the body of Messiah, but he talks about the various people that have various tasks that are given responsibilities. And he goes on to talk about this in the book of Romans. But in verse 10, he says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, preferring one another, not lazy in business, but fervent in spirit, serving Yahweh, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." So he goes on to tell us to be a person of integrity and carrying on and strengthening the brethren. Let's go over to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 are basically the same thing. Sometimes you find in one chapter and book, it's a little different, but basically the same thrust is there. Notice here in chapter 12 of the book of 1 Corinthians, I want you to move down to verse 18. Here we find that it says, "Now hath Elohim set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him." So we find that there are different people that are in the body of Messiah that you and I probably would never select. We'd never think about their following in the footsteps of Yahshua. And yet we find here, this is exactly what Paul said. We had nothing to do with picking out those that come to Yahshua. Yahshua says, "No man can come to the Father but by me." If you're going to be a part of the body of Messiah, you have to go through Yahshua the Messiah. On the other hand, Yahweh himself says that if he doesn't call the people, they will not be with the Messiah. It's like Yahweh has a list that he gives to the son, and he says, you can pick anyone you want from this list. So Yahshua, in the book of Acts, for example, he says, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a demon? Well, Yahshua did the choosing, but he did it from the list that Yahweh has called. Yahweh doesn't call everyone, but he does call those that he wants in the assembly that would be a part of the body. Notice here, in fact, I was interested to read about Gill's notes about this verse 18 of chapter 12. And Gill said, according to his sovereign will, Yahweh has set them in the body without consulting anybody. And each one stands in the best situation and position they could be put for the greatest service and usefulness to the whole body. So Elohim and not man has set every member in the mystical body, the assembly, in such a place to be a part of it, as he himself thought fit. Some are in a higher position and some are in a lower station, but it's all for the good of the body. And therefore each member ought to be content with his place and the gift that he was given. And usefulness is important, be they what they will. Since it is wise counsel and the sovereign pleasure of Yahweh who works all things after the counsel of his own will, so should it be. Well, what's Gill really talking about? Let's go back to chapter 12 here in verse 7. Here we're told that each one of us is given a special gift, and that we find there in verse 8, one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. By the same Spirit. Wisdom and knowledge are almost synonymous, except that knowing things, but not knowing how to apply what you know, you really don't give your wisdom the proper run that you have with it. So knowing something, but not knowing what to do with it, might be a little different. Wisdom and knowledge. But anyway, verse 9 says, another is given faith by the same Spirit. Rather interesting that faith is a gift like it's given here, but it's also a fruit. You find that over in Galatians 5:22. It says that faith is a gift. And here we, or a fruit, I mean, and here we find it's a gift. But the others that Paul mentions here, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, and all these work the one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man as he will. So we're all given a gift of the Spirit. Spiritual gift that we are to use to edify and build up the assembly. Now let's go back to verse 28 in this 12th chapter. Notice it says, and Elohim has set some in the assembly, first apostles, secondarily prophets. By the way, I might mention, sometimes people want to be an apostle. I think if you check that word out, you'll find that the apostle had to have seen the risen Messiah. If you didn't see the risen Messiah, they're not classified as an apostle. And they've all died off, of course, since that time. But he says, secondarily, prophets. Prophets wouldn't necessarily mean just to tell the future, but also to explain the scriptures, what they really mean. And then we find, secondarily, our teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, governments. Governments could also be guides. Oh, thank you. Excuse me. Notice he says in verse 29, are we all going to be apostles? Well, of course not. What about prophets or teachers or workers of miracles? We're all given different gifts. Do we all have the gifts of healing? The answer is no. Do we all speak with tongues? The answer is no. Do we all interpret? Then he goes on to say in verse 31, but look for or covet the most precious gift, and that is the best gift, and that, of course, is agape love, which he gets into. So the Apostle Paul tells us that there are many gifts that were given to the body of believers, and that we all have the Spirit are given a gift that is primarily to build up the assembly. I want you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, we find here that Yahshua did all this when he ascended to heaven and after his resurrection, I should say, and he sent the Spirit back to this earth. Anyway, notice here in chapter 4, in verse 4, he says there is one body, one master body of believers, and that is with one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, set apart Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. And then he goes on to say, there is one master, one faith, one baptism. Sometimes people want to get baptized. Seems like in churches you get baptized every time you go to a new church, so you have to get baptized all over again. We don't really believe that. Once you're baptized into Yahshua's name, you're baptized. Unless you're not satisfied with it or something was not quite right. Some people don't understand. You have to be immersed into water, like a burial, covered up with water. But there is one baptism, one true baptism, one mighty one, one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I think this is talking here in the verse 6 about the spiritual dominion that Yahweh has. His Spirit permeates the whole earth. But notice he says in verse 7, every one of us is given the grace according to the measure of the gift of Messiah. Verse 8 says, when he ascended up on high, when he was taken up to the heavens, that he gave gifts unto men. That led captivity captive has always bothered me. I never could quite understand it. Led captivity captive. It really means he released the captives. He set them free. When you read it that way, it makes more sense. But he gave gifts unto men. In verse 9 it says, now he that ascended, what is it, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. This is kind of an inset verse. It doesn't really follow. And the next one says, he that descended is the same also that ascended far above the heavens, that he might fulfill all things. Talking about Yahshua, he is the one that is being discussed here. But he gave gifts unto men in verse 8. Verse 11, he tells us what they are. He gave some apostles. In fact, I mentioned something here. In Acts chapter 1. Let me see if I can find it here in a hurry. In chapter 1 and verse 22, I mentioned that apostles had to see the risen Messiah. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 22, we read, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So it says to be an apostle, you have to be a witness of the resurrection of Yahshua. And you find that in chapter 1 and verse 22. Well, let's get back over here to the gifts that he's given here. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why are these given? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Messiah, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of Elohim, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature and the fullness of the Messiah. There's rather an interesting comment here. We are supposed to be like the Messiah. We're supposed to strive to be like him. And there's a lot to be said here about the Holy Spirit, because he is, Yahshua has said here that everyone that is in the body of Messiah is placed there because Yahweh wants him there. We're all part of the body. And our task is to find out what we ought to be doing and how we can edify and build up the body, what we can do to make it stronger and a better body. So we are to edify the body of Messiah. Now, I want to go back again now to what Paul was saying. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. Pick this up again. Paul is all for having a strong body that is willing to do what Yahweh wants us to do, that it is a wise group of people that are dedicated, doing Yahweh's will, striving to walk in footsteps of Yahshua. And here when you move to the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, the last chapter here, notice in verse 17, I thought this is rather interesting, that the book of Hebrews, we still start with verse 7. The book of Hebrews, the writer mentions again, remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of Elohim, whose faith follow, considering at the end of their conversation. That word end actually should be goal. That this is the goal that we follow in the footsteps of Yahshua. Now down to verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch out for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. This was the verse I read to that young man a couple of years ago. He never knew that verse was there. And in fact, I didn't either until I began to research it a little more. But notice that in verse 24 again, the writer of Hebrews says, salute all them that have the rule over you and the saints. They of Italy salute you as well. So we have there the the greetings of the brethren, greeting each other, all striving to work for the great gathering of Yahweh's people. That someday, when Yahshua returns, we'll have been educated in Yahweh's truth, that we learn more of what we're expected to be doing, and that actually we'll grow in grace and knowledge and understanding. We find Paul is quite timid. I want to close here with 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It's kind of interesting here what Paul says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says there in verse 13, he says, we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule that Elohim, which Elohim has distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. So we find that he is talking here about boasting, which of course he does when he gets into the chapter here on false apostles in chapter 11. And he says he is jealous over the body of believers with a jealousy. In verse 2 he says, 2 Corinthians 11:2, I am jealous over you with a righteous jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Messiah. So Paul is acting as a father. Verse 3 says, but I fear lest by any means, as a servant beguile Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Messiah. So Paul actually is worried about people being carried away to some other doctrines and not following in the footsteps of Yahshua. Verse 4, he says, if one comes preaching another doctrine, another Yahshua, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another evangel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Notice Paul doesn't brag much, but he says in verse 5, I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostle. Well, that's actually a little boastful, but Paul actually paid the price for being the apostle that is striving to keep the assembly alive, strong, and following in the way that we're to walk and be the kind of people that will be a witness to others along the way. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. May we study more and learn more of the deeper things of the Word. And I trust that as time goes by, we will uncover, find even more things that we are to learn and know, and we can put it to good use. May Yahweh bless you.